old man who used to have a version of his own of that particular chorus. He used to sing, "Count your blessings, count them by the score. Count your blessings, count them o'er and o'er. Count your blessings, and when you finish counting, there are thousands more." Now that's true. You've never been able, friend, to count all your blessings. I wonder if you could sit down someday and just take a notebook, write down all the things, all the blessings. I wonder how many pages you could fill. And the older you grow, the more blessings you have to count. Count your many, many blessings. We've been going through some studies in the book of Revelation on the Wednesday nights and sometimes the Sundays. I want you this morning to turn up to Revelation chapter 3. We finished on Wednesday night dealing with the message to the church at Philadelphia, and this morning we're going to read the final message to the churches. It's the message to the Laodiceans. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 14. "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy work, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. Anoint thine eyes with thy salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, sat down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches." To the Lord who bless to us the reading of these verses, let us bow for a moment of prayer. Our Father, again with our hearts before thee, and our prayer is that thou wilt quieten every one of our hearts today, and grant that we shall have that open ear, ready to listen what thy word has to say. Above all, we ask, dear God, that what we learn from the scriptures today shall not be forgotten, but we'll carry these thoughts with us and put them into practice in days that lie before us. We ask thee, O God, if there be a struggling soul in here today, someone who doesn't understand and has never trusted the Savior, that this may be the red letter day in the life history, the day that will come to a perfect agreement with thyself in true repentance and exercise faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask it in his own name. Amen. I suppose you've heard this text over and over again. For out of the scripture I have read to you, I want you to remember the text. Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and sup with him, and he with me." I remind you again what I've said on many an occasion. You don't require to have a university education to understand that verse. There's not a word in that verse that anyone can say they don't understand. Simple little words. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. How often have you heard it said, there's a man at the door? Perhaps you've been busy in the kitchen and you've looked out the window and you've seen someone coming to the door. And you weren't able to go to the door, but you shouted to someone else in the house, when you go to the door, there's a man at the door. See what he wants. If you see two men coming, of course, you could almost rest assured they're Mormons. The best thing is don't answer the door if they're there. Just keep on busy in the kitchen and forget if the bell rings and they'll go away. Won't do you any good to go anywhere. But sometimes there are people who come there and you've got to answer the door. Of course, you could keep them standing on the step. A fellow came to my door once and I opened the door and the screen door was still there and said, yes, sir, what can I do for you? He says, aren't you going to open the door? I said, I've already opened this door. But he says, what about this one? I said, I can hear you all right. And hear you through the screen, tell me what your business is. I didn't want that. And when he did go away, he was muttering Hindu grace under his breath, because I wouldn't give him an order. See? The man at the door. The man comes to your door, you want to know who he is, you want to know his business, what authority has he got, if any. Of course, if he takes out a little book out of his pocket and he says, I'm so-and-so, and he shows you his book, he's from the FBI, then you're best to take him in to see what he wants. You say, I've never had that book. Well, I have. See? You know, some men find you out. It's a strange, strange way of how they can find out where you're living. If you've got information that they want, they can find you out. But here's a picture of a man at the door. And the first thing that arises in your mind is this, who is this person? Who is it? Now if a stranger comes to your door, it gets you excited. Who is this fellow? Okay. But if it's somebody you know, that's another matter. You don't get excited, I don't suppose it's somebody you know. But who is this person that's at the door? He says, behold, I. And this is no ordinary person. This is a unique person that's come to your door. And first of all, I want you to notice the door at which he's standing here. This is the one of whom the Bible says, never man spake like this man. That was the verdict of his enemies. Those that were sent along to arrest them when they went back, and those that sent them said, why have you brought them? Why didn't you arrest them? Oh my, you should have heard them. Never man spake like this man. No one ever could speak like him. He's the one who in chapter 1 of this very book says, I am he that was alive, I am he that liveth, and became dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. That's him. This is the one of whom the judge said, I don't find any fault in him. A faultless man. You see, when he spoke, he could speak with absolute simplicity that people understood what he was saying. But he could speak with absolute authority and he could say, I say unto you. And I want to remind you, when he spoke with absolute finality. When he said it, that was it. Nothing to be added to it. Nothing to be taken from it. Behold, I. Now you remember when he came to this earth, and oh my, they'll be celebrating this thing in a week or two now. It's started already. It's glad when it's all over. Because most of you know by this time, I don't believe he was born on the 25th of December. That's a lot of rubbish. That's not the day of his birth at all. But I'm glad that they at least admit that he was born. But when he was born, they weren't ringing bells. When he was born, they had no place for him. He had cobwebs for his curtains and straw for his mattress. Mary wrapped him in swaddling bands, so no record of even a doctor being there. He wrapped him in swaddling bands and laid him in the straw in a room in the hotel. No room for him in the room. He was born treated like an outcast, an unwanted one. And after living most of his life up in the little town of Nazareth, when he preached his first sermon there, most of you are acquainted with this, after he preached his first sermon, the very people that lived around him there didn't want to hear any more. They chased him out of Nazareth. We're going to push him over the brow of the hill, over the rocks. He escaped out of their midst, changed his home and went away across the lake to Capernaum to live there. Started walking around the Middle East, preaching for over 3 years. When he went over to Gadara, they pled with him to leave their coast. We don't want you here, we'd rather have our swine here. By you coming here and delivering that man, we've lost a whole herd of swine. Get out! And they chased him out. They didn't want him there. And the world has never wanted Jesus Christ nor his teaching. And ultimately they got him down to Jerusalem. And the religious leaders there led the whole pack, as it were, against him. Stirred up the multitude to ask Pilate that he would allow them to crucify him. Let him be crucified. Pilate says, what will I do then with your king? Let him be crucified. We've no king but Caesar. Oh, this is him. He created the world. The great creator. And his creation had no room for him. Cast him out. But he said this one day, he said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I want to remind every one of you this morning that the gates of hell shall not prevail against his church. All the powers of hell can be let loose against his church, that will not be able to overthrow it. But I want to remind you that when you come to the book of the Revelation, chapters 2 and 3, there are 7 letters, and I've been emphasizing this in past studies, and these 7 letters to 7 different churches are representative of all the groups that would claim to be churches, local churches. But in each one you'll find deterioration until you come to the very last one here, Laodicea. And here's a church that's got a lot of works. I know your works. Oh, they were busy, a lot of activity, a lot of organization, and Christ was outside, standing at the door. You see, my friend, this
is God's word. And if we're not prepared to submit to what's written in this book, then we're virtually putting Christ outside the door. And there's a lot of little religious groups today claiming to be Christian churches, so to speak, professing to bear a testimony for God and for His Christ. And Christ is outside. An old colored Christian some years ago wanted to have membership in a certain local church, which was predominantly white. But he argued with them that he went to a white school, etc., 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 and he had always worked for the white master and so on. And they said, we'll consider it. So they were considering it for a long time. So one day someone said to him, now how are you getting on? Have they given you membership in that church? He said, no. And he says, I don't want it now. He said, why? He said, I had a little talk with the Lord. The Lord told me not to worry. They wouldn't even let him in. He was outside, so he said, I'm just going to stay outside with the Lord. It's better to be outside with the Lord than to be inside where the Lord isn't. Here was a church, Laodicea, and Christ was outside, and yet they were saying, we are in need of nothing. We are enriched and increased with goods, and have need of nothing. Why, don't you see that the pledges for this year are so high that we've got more money than we know what to do with it? And we're in debt to no one? Enriched and in need of nothing. The Lord says to them, there's some things you don't know. You're poor, you're miserable, you're blind, you're naked. Now he says, I counsel thee, buy of me gold tried in the fire that thou mayest be rich, raiment that you may be clothed, and eye salve that you may see. That's what I've got. Behold, I'm standing at your door. I possess everything. I've got everything you need to enrich you with spiritual riches. I've got exactly what you need. Will you let me in? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. My friend, listen. If you got a notice this week that President Reagan was coming down to Raleigh, and out of all the names that were submitted to him, he had chosen yours as one of the homes he was going to visit. And he was coming with the First Lady to visit you on such and such a day. I'll guarantee that the whole street would know about it. In fact, perhaps it would be in the News and Observer. And they'd have your picture in. And you would be up at the laundry. You'd have your finest dress all clean, or else you'd get a new one. You'd have something special done at the house. And the neighbors would be there. The cameraman would be there to take a picture of the president visiting your home. And you wouldn't stand at the door and say, who are you? You'd have the door wide open to give him a welcome. You know it. Everything would be prepared for him, and yet, my friend, who is he? Oh, he's the president, yes. But a few weeks' time, he's out. He'll have to leave the White House in a few weeks' time and go away back to his little ranch over in California. But he's the president. And because of the position he occupies, oh, you would be thrilled at the idea of such a person coming to your door. Queen Victoria used to go to Scotland, always in the month of August. That's the month in which the royal family go up to their Scottish home called Balmoral Castle. Built their beautiful granite house, beautiful big place. And always when she was up there, or the royal family is there every year, there's a special gathering held at a place called Braemar, a Highland gathering. Something like what you have over in Grandfather Mountain, only in a greater scale. And one day there, the royal family visit Braemar. But Queen Victoria decided she wasn't going that day, and while all the rest were away along at Braemar, she decided to have a little walk. Dressed herself up, her umbrella, in case a shower of rain would come on, she went away for a little walk down one of the little country roads. She came to a little cottage with an old woman sitting at the door knitting. She began to talk to her. She says, "Do you live all alone?" "Oh no," she said, "I've got my family here, but they're all away to Braemar today. They're all away to Braemar. You see, they went away to see the Queen. This is the day the royal family go to Braemar, and my family's all the way there. They want to see the Queen." "And didn't you want to see the Queen?" "Oh, I wasn't much interested," she said. "She's just a little old lady like myself. That's all." And the story went on to say, Queen Victoria talked a little while and said, "Well now, when they come home from Braemar, just you tell them, when they tell you they didn't see the Queen, that she wasn't there, just you tell them you saw her, she was here, right at the door." Imagine, the Queen. We just reigned over the British Empire in these days, that's all. The empire in which the sun in these days never set. But here she was at the door of a little cottage out in the country, talking to a simple old country lady. She never forgot the Queen being at her door. "Ah, but my friend, listen. Behold, I, the greatest person that ever walked on the face of this earth, none to compare with him, God's unique son, born differently from everybody else, a virgin birth. He lived a pure and holy, sinless life. He died a unique death, as a substitute for sinners. But death couldn't hold its prey. He rose again from the dead. There's none like him. And in glory he ascended to the right hand of the Father and took his throne up there. Yet he's saying, they'll not let me in. They've closed the door against me. They don't let me." But he said, "If anyone will hear my voice." Now, I like the patience of the Savior. You see, the idea, behold, I'm standing at the door and I'm knocking. He doesn't just give one knock. I'm standing at the door and I'm knocking. I'll ask you a simple question. If you went to somebody's door, whether it was the door of a friend or the door of a stranger, and you went to the door, and you knocked, or you rang the bell, and no one answered the door, and you tried again, and you were absolutely sure they were in, you knew they were in, and you knocked louder, no answer. I'll ask you, how many times would you knock that door before turning away? And if you knew they were in, and you had an idea they saw you coming, but just decided they were not going to answer the door, you would turn away in disgust. And perhaps you'd be saying things under your breath. A long time before I come back again. She'll not sweep any dust out after me. That's the last time. She'll invite me the next time from coming. That's the way you feel, natural. My friend, how do you think the Lord continues to stand and knock? Behold, I'm standing at the door and I am knocking. He's seeking admission and he's saying, if anyone will hear my voice. Oh, the patience of the Savior. When did he first knock at your heart's door? Was it when you were a child in the Sunday school? Or when you attended some children's meetings and you heard somebody tell the story about the Savior and his death on the cross and his glorious resurrection, and you heard the way of salvation when you were quite young, and at that time there was something in here said, yes, I'd like to be a Christian, but not now. I'll just wait. I'll wait till I'm a little older. And you got a little older. And one day someone else spoke to you about the Savior when you were a teenager perhaps. You said, yes, I've heard that before. And again he was gently knocking at your heart's door. And on you went. And perhaps it was on a bed of sickness. God spoke to you again. There was a knock at your heart's door. You ought to get this thing put right with God. Time's running out. God has laid you on your back in order to appeal to you. He's knocking, gently knocking. If anyone will hear my voice, oh, the patience of the Savior. How long will you keep him waiting? Perhaps you'll turn away someday. And you may say concerning you, as was said in the Bible concerning Ephraim, Ephraim has gone to his idols, let him alone. Let him alone. Friend, suppose a member of your family walked out of the house like the prodigal did, and went off into a strange city and lived a life of sin and disgraced you. Spoiled the very name that you gave them, and you were told about it, and you knew how they were living. I'll guarantee if that person returned to the home and came to your door, you wouldn't keep them standing at the door. You would throw the door wide open, you'd bring them in, glad to see them back again. Did I ever tell you about the friend of mine I knew, old Charlie? And he had a son. If ever there was a prodigal, he was. He ruined his father's business 3 times. And other folks had to come to his assistance to bail him out of ruin and get him started again. 3 times that son ruined his father's business. And on one occasion he landed his father in hospital. And if it hadn't been for the work of a surgeon, his father would have been buried. And one day somebody came to Charlie and said, you know where your son John is? He says, I've no idea. I haven't seen him for so long. He says, I don't know where he is. I don't know what he's doing. But I'll tell you where you'll see him, and I'll give you the time and the place. And he did. Charlie told us, he says, I left home with my wife, and we motored all the way to the city. Went to the very spot, stood at the corner of the parapet of that bridge, and watched, and the time came. No sign of him. Late at night, 11 o'clock at night in the city, and all he saw was an old man coming down, staggering down the road, and going in behind those big pillars. He waited and waited, and he said to his wife, I'm afraid it's not true. No sign of him. He said, before we go home, let me go over and give something to that old man that went in there. It might help him to go and get a bed someplace for the night instead of sleeping outside there behind those pillars. He says, when I went over and went in behind those pillars to see this old man, he says, I looked at him and said, oh my God, John, it's you. His own son, he didn't recognize him. Oh, rags and tatters. Filthy. Says, come on home, John, come home. He says, I brought him home, I bundled him in the back seat of the car and drove as hard as I could to get him home. Took him right up the stair into the bathroom and I stripped him of everything he had on. Put him on paper and threw it out of the window. Told him to get into the bath and get scrubbed. Went down and says, poured kerosene on the old clothes and burned them for the filth. And he started John all over again. I didn't close the door against his boy. I remember the night that his boy trusted the Savior. He took him in. A friend, it's not a prodigal that's standing here. It's the Lord Jesus Christ, the spotless Son of God, who died on Calvary's cross to save sinners. And he comes and he says, I'm outside the door and I'm waiting. If anyone will hear my voice, I'm continually knocking. I haven't left you yet. I'm knocking. Oh, the patience of the Savior for each of us. And see his plea. He says, now if anyone will just open the door, anyone, I'll come in. You can think of it, my friend. Who is it he wants to save? Is it all those good living church people? Or who is it? Anyone. That includes you. If God so loved the world and you're in the world, surely you can put yourself inside that circle. If anyone will hear my voice, are you willing? He that hath an ear, said the Lord himself, he that hath an ear, let him hear. If God gives you an ear, that's the capacity to hear. But he says, let him hear. That is the responsibility to hear. He that hath an ear, let them hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. And if Christendom today, if church profession today is just simply a religious profession and Christ is outside of it, then he's making an appeal to the individual. If anyone will hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in. Oh, what a promise. Oh, what a promise. I'll come in and sup with him. And he, with me, I remember one dear old man, he used to get excited about this. Yes, he says, he'll come in. And he'll sup with me down here. And I'm going to sup with him up there. And I believe every one of you may be expecting someday to sup with him up there. When the time comes, my friend, for you to leave this old body down here, this old tabernacle, this frail mortal frame, when you leave this house down here, death calls you there, you're expecting to go to heaven, aren't you? Over in the hospital on Friday, coming down the elevator, and stopped at one of the flats. The new Salvation Army officer and his wife were there, and I said, we're going down. I said, yes. So they came running in. I said, I didn't know whether the Salvation Army would be going down or going up. He looked at me and said, oh, he says, yes. And his wife answered for us. She says, ultimately we're going up. I said, we're going down another floor now. So we got talking about that. I usually catch people on these elevators the same way. I say, a lot of ups and downs in life, isn't it? Now, which one is it going to be for the last one? Will it be an up or a down? We're all expecting to go up. You're expecting to go in and go up. And you're going to sup with him up there. Are you prepared for him to come in and sup with you down here? If you don't know him down here, my friend, you're not going to know him up there. If you cannot invite the Lord in down here, he's not going to take you in up there. You can rest assured of that. When he comes in the rapture, he's coming for his own. Those that have received him. Those that have trusted him. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone will hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. Oh, what a promise. And every promise he has made, he has fulfilled. You and I perhaps make promises at times and we forget about the promises we make. Others make promises and they've got no intentions of keeping them. Remember one night before an election, man came into the shop where I was working. Said to my boss, now I'm depending on you tomorrow. I'm expecting your vote. Oh, Dick, he said, you can expect my vote. I'll be voting for you for the local town council. Yeah, you can trust me. I'll be voting for you. You'll get my vote. Thank you, Willie. Thank you. And out he went. Before he had the door right closed, I never heard my old boss swear like it. The words he used, what does he think I am, that old so-and-so, to vote for the likes of him. After telling him straight, yes, you can depend on me, I'll promise to give him a vote. Within half a minute, he says, what does he think I am, voting for the likes of him. See, my friend, some folk, what they say doesn't mean anything to them. They tell you a blatant lie to your face. But when the Lord makes a promise, oh, you can rest on his word. What the Lord promises, he'll fulfill. If you will open the door, I will come in and will sup with him, and he with me. You know, I was just looking at that hymn. Have you any room for Jesus? He who bore your load of sin, as he knocks and asks admission, sinner, will you let him in? You've room for pleasure, room for business, but for Christ the crucified, not a place that he can enter in the heart for which he died. Have you any room for Jesus? As in grace he calls again, oh, today is time accepted. Tomorrow you may call in vain. Room and time now give to Jesus. Soon will pass God's day of grace. Soon thy heart left cold and silent, and thy Savior's pleading cease. You remember John F. Kennedy in the talking again about the day he was assassinated and tried to bring it to remembrance. When he went over to Dallas, someone presented him with one of those great big Texan hats, big cowboy hat. And you've never seen a picture of John Kennedy with a hat on. You never saw him wear a hat. They presented him with a big cowboy hat. He thanked them for it and he said, right. They said, put it on. No. He said, I'll wait till I get back to Washington. I'll wear it on Monday when I get back to Washington. They brought him back to Washington at Congress. Perhaps you're saying, Mr. McNeil, what you've said about the Lord at the door may be true, and I'm going to let him in someday, but not today. perhaps after the new year, after we're through with all the celebrations, I'll think of it then. Or perhaps I'm going to wait for another year, or 2 years. Just give me another 2 years and then I'll get saved. I'll be a Christian. Oh, my friend, listen, I don't care who you are this morning, what age you are. Oh, today is time accepted. Tomorrow you may call in vain. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone will hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in and sup with him and he with me. Let's pray. Father, we thank thee for the patience of thy beloved Son, still waiting to save men and women, still willing to save them, still able to save them, if only they'll accept him. God, grant that today some heart will be opened up to receive thy beloved Son. We ask it in his precious name. Amen. Let us close by singing two verses or so of that hymn I quoted. Number 241. We'll sing the last two verses, the last two. Have you any room for Jesus, as in grace he calls again. The last two verses of number 241, after which the meeting is entirely over.